Welcome to the X29 Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Metters. I'm so excited to sit here today with a fellow Texan. Are you a native Texan, Jim?
No.
But a guy who lives in Texas, Jim Essien, pastor of the Paradox Church in Fort Worth, Texas. So you're not a native Texan. Where are you from?
Detroit.
Detroit? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, where the weak are killed and eaten.
Wow, that's terrifying. Okay, so you're the pastor, lead pastor of the Paradox Church in Fort Worth, Texas, which is not Dallas and is not the Twin City of... So why don't you just tell us about yourself, your family, and the church in Fort Worth, all of those things together.
All those things, small things. Yeah, I grew up in the Detroit area, and my dad was in professional baseball, so we moved around a lot. And then I got into my own professional baseball career, signed out of high school, and found myself in Fort Worth, Texas. Hadn't heard of it.
Okay, so professional player. What team were you on?
I played in the Kansas City Royals organization, Tigers, Dodgers.
Nice.
Yeah, all over. So anyways, ended up in Fort Worth playing ball and met a girl. Like most stories begin.
A lot of baseball movies. Yeah. Met a girl.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping this girl is Heather, your wife.
Right. You're right. Yeah. 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 So I met my wife there. And I played a couple more years. After that, we got married pretty quick. In 2006, I was going to retire from playing ball. I was 26. We were going to move back to the Detroit area.
Okay.
My dad's one of 13. My mom's one of five. I have 55 first cousins.
Whoa.
We all lived within 20 minutes of each
other. Okay. Wow.
So it was kind of a no-brainer. Move back home, go to work, start making six figures pretty quick with the kind of the family finance business. And Heather's family, not much family in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, so not a lot of ties there. And so we moved back up to the Detroit area. I was going to shut it down, and the Lord just started pulling us back to Fort Worth, calling us to Fort Worth.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Incredible. 55 cousins?
Yeah. 55 first cousins.
First. Man, that's amazing.
Yep.
Okay. So I always love to hear whenever we get to this topic with some of our church planner profiles is, so how did you become a believer?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way I tell the story is I don't know. From the time I was young, I lifted my hands in worship and prayed and loved Jesus, was raised in a wonderful Christian home. My dad got saved, in 1979, right before I was born, my mom and dad, through the testimony of Wayne Gross, who was the third baseman for the Oakland A's.
Okay.
My dad was the catcher.
Oh, wow.
And so he got saved in kind of around the Jesus movement time and out there in California, Vineyard movement. And so everything I knew was the Lord. And, they were, my dad was an evangelist, led a lot of his 12 brothers and sisters to the Lord. And we had a really neat Bible study in the home for a long time and all of that. But there was definitely like a season of life where, probably couldn't have seen much fruit in me, you know, from the time of like 15, 16 to 21, 22, about the time I met my wife. Probably wouldn't have seen a lot of fruit in me, if you were looking for it. But, and there was a time even where I wrestled, especially when I came into, arrogant Calvinism, not humble Calvinism, but when I came into arrogant Calvinism, I wondered if I was a Christian, during those years.
Sure.
But, when I do look back at that time, and obviously doesn't matter, the Lord saved me and loves me and knows me and holds me now. But I wonder, like, I saw there was still affections in my heart for the Lord, even though I was not pursuing Him at all or His ways.
Yeah, I totally connect with that. I remember growing up in the church, same thing. And actually, the first church I was ever a part of, I didn't put this in my book, was called... The first church I remember was Free Will Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just putting the doctrine right in the name.
There. Can you imagine?
Front loaded right
there. We put that on our churches.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
Yeah. I mean, double predestination Paradox Baptist Church.
And I drove by there recently and somebody had spray painted a Y on the sign and it said Free Willy Baptist Church. So
that's awesome.
That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I remember growing up there and then we moved in a different part of Houston and I'm a part of this church and it's a great church, very solid doctrine, all that stuff. And I start having the teenage, am I really a believer?
Right.
You know, I prayed the sinner's prayer or whatever so many times at these kids' camps, am I really saved? And I went and met with my pastor and telling him, man, I got these problems. I don't know, am I really saved? And he just said, Jeff, do you ever, and I think it was from Spurgeon, I think, he said, do you ever go and, you know, check it, look at your birth certificate to see if you're alive? I said, no. He goes, how do you know you're alive? Well, I'm breathing and I'm alive. He goes, well, there you go. He said, don't obsess about when was the date? When was I converted? Like, am I alive right now?
That's right.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah, I am. Yeah. So I think for a lot of people that grew up in the church, like, I want those kinds of testimony stories.
Yeah.
Like, man, I've always been a part of the church. Yes, me too. And so I was just telling you right before the show that my son was converted last year.
Yeah.
So I did this for him. We bought a Bible and I wrote his, like the time that he professed faith and his baptism date. I wrote mm-hmm. them both in the front of the Bible, and I'm using this Bible right now. Just to my own personal reading. It's here with me at the X29 Pastor's Wives Retreat. And then I want to give it to him when he goes off to college.
Man.
And so he can have those.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, it's crazy. So I didn't have it, but I want him to have it. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Cool. Okay. So believer. And then now, you know, you leave baseball and you feel called to pastoral ministry, to plant a church. How did you feel that calling and conviction to plant the Paradox Church in Fort Worth?
Yeah. So Christmas night, 2004, I think God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I got down on my knees. At the time, never really prayed on my knees or did anything like that. But it felt like that kind of moment. And I just felt a very real call to ministry. And this is I'm 24, I guess, at that time, and I'm going to go play another 3 years. So I didn't know what that meant. We was raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised in the church. We traveled so much that we weren't really, we were part of a church, but we were only in town a couple months out of the year. So I didn't even know what the church was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what this call to ministry was. I kind of put it on the back burner, didn't really think too much about it. And then, when we were done, playing ball and God started to pull us to Fort Worth. There's a church there that we had kind of participated in when I was playing there.
Okay.
And so we were, we started going to church there, and he asked me to be the youth pastor. I said no. I turned him down 4 times.
Wow.
I finally said yes. He was going to pay me $500 a month, and I needed $500.
Crushing it. Yeah.
And I was the worst youth pastor ever. I didn't grow up in a youth ministry. I didn't grow up really in the church. I grew up around 26-year-old guys in a clubhouse, baseball players in a clubhouse. So I was terrible at it. You know, my wife would share stories about youth group culture, her growing up in a Baptist, Southern Baptist youth group. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do any of those things. I took them camping one time and it was the worst experience imaginable. It was terrible. So I got into ministry that way, and somebody in the church handed me a Mark Driscoll sermon CD.
Okay.
And so I started listening to Mark and, never heard preaching like that before. And then Mark had led me to Acts 29. And it's funny, I don't know why, when I first heard of Acts 29, and I first heard of church planting, it was literally the first time I had heard about church planting. And I guess I didn't know how churches came about.
Right.
I don't know how they got started.
Just kind of an assumed like they're there.
No, like a stork would fly and plant this, baby church. I don't know. I just had no idea. But as soon as I heard that you could plant your own church, I was like, oh, that's what God was calling me to. Christmas night, 2004.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you are, Acts 29. You're hearing about church planting. And I just got to ask this question because I think this is, I bet people wonder, the name of the church is the Paradox Church. Every church planter, we care about the name, we think about it, mm-hmm. we wrestle with it. So what's the story of the Paradox Church?
Oh man. So nobody really thought this church was going to work. Okay. So nobody thought that it needed any sort of, longevity, Jeff. I have no idea. No, I do. So it was two things. One was I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. It's 2008, 9, 10, and I'm beginning to birth this church in my mind, right? And begin to gather for it and plant for it and all that. And you got a bunch of burnt out church kids. It was a conversation starter. And it was a weird name.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What denomination are you? What do you mean?
Uh-huh.
And it was a way to explain the gospel. So it kind of came out of, there's a Luther quote, God works by contraries. When he wants to give a man life, he kills him. you know, something like, you know, I'm butchering the quote.
There's
tons,
last first. I mean, there's all,
right.
all
so
these
then,
kinds
so
of
then
things.
There's all those teachings of Jesus in the Bible. And then the first prayer in the Valley of Vision prayers, is called the Valley of Vision. And the first line is let me learn by paradox. Mm. And so that's where I kind of pulled it from, was there. And, but yeah, I mean, just the last are first and the greatest is the least and all of that. So that's kind of where it came from.
I love it. Have you ever done a series on all the paradoxical statements in the scriptures?
I haven't. No,
that's free.
I have zero creativity.
There's a
with
free sermon series
so.
For you.
Thank you.
Right there. You're welcome. Yeah. Okay. So what year did the church start?
We officially publicly launched January of 2011.
Okay,
so we're 10 years old.
10 years old. Yep. Man, amazing. We could do a whole episode just on 10 years of lessons and all that kinds of stuff. So the church starts, maybe just give us, you know, you don't have to do a full 10 years, but the kind of just the story of the Paradox Church, what you've been through, highlights, ups, downs, whatever you want to share.
Yeah, so we, you know, we started gathering people. We really, really wanted to honor the assessment process of Acts 29, in part, not because we're so holy and we wanted to submit to that. We literally didn't know, like, I have no college degree, no seminary degree. Our marriage, the first couple of years was an absolute wreck. We really wanted to know, like, do you guys think we can do this?
Right.
Because we're not sure, but it seems like we're supposed to.
I got this goofy name and I don't know, what am I doing?
Yes, exactly. So, we really waited till that approval came down before we really got to work. And by that, I had all sorts of stuff in my head and written down in journals and I was ready to go. So from that moment that we were assessed and approved to the moment we publicly launched was only like 8 months.
Okay.
And we had this kind of weird small group of kind of ragtag Christians, maybe probably a lot of unregenerate and Christians, and they all scattered as soon as I said, "Hey, we got approved. We're going to plant a church." They all left.
Wow.
So they all left one by one. They left. One person handed me a check for $500. Thank you. That was great. And so it was kind of like had to start over in like May, June of 2010 and, just started getting, just burnt out church kids, unregenerate, folks. It was really sweet. We had whole restaurant staffs coming out.
Wow.
You know,
is there a certain time that you were meeting that they were coming out?
So I'm just talking about in our home.
Oh, in your home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in our home. So, people were getting saved and it was just, it was just really cool.
Wow.
So then we got to about 40 or 50 in the home and we started doing, we broke off into three groups cause it was getting too big. And so now we have three small groups and then we started gathering once a month as a church. So in the fall of 2010, we did four preview services, four gatherings so we could break bread and drink wine and, worship together as a church. And at the same time, you know, it's a strategic missional move too, to have a gathering, a public gathering in the South of the United States. Because there's going to be people that would never come into your home as a front door to the church, but they'll come, to a church service. So we would, we'd take our 40 people and gather on a Sunday in some random spot and, 100 people showed up. And then maybe 20 or so of those new people came into our groups and kind of connected and assimilated into our church. And we'd do it again. And, another 100 people would show up and slowly, we started to grow the church, in that way and get them connected to the life of the church. And then January of 2011, we launched and man, from January that first year, at least in, I don't know, from my experience and my understanding, you hear crazy stories now about how fast churches grow, but it felt like it grew pretty fast. Mm. So we were two services that first fall, 300 people.
Yeah, it's fast.
And I had nobody else on staff. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know, didn't know what was happening.
Yikes.
So the first, I usually break up the history of our church in the first 5 years and the second 5 years. The first 5 years was unbelievably exciting, super fast paced, really cool, crazy. Don't remember half of it. People getting saved, churches growing, made a few hires, just blowing and going, But then the second 5 years or probably second 6 years was tough. It was a lot of disappointment. It was a lot of just a lot of hard things, real tough church discipline stuff, real tough, some moral failures, you know, with some people around us. And build, we had opportunities to, you know, build, you know, thought we'd have a building, and then it would fall through. Thought we'd have a building and then somebody got sued. So, you know, just crazy right. things happened, in that. I got shingles, which you're only supposed to get shingles if you're like 90.
Wow. I've heard they're insanely painful. And it was terrible.
Yeah. I got, kidney stones multiple times. Actually, I think it was just one kidney stone. I just never did anything about it.
Oh,
so for 13 months, I just suffered. And then, man, I, you know, there's about 1 week where I wanted to pack it up and leave, but that, other than that, the Lord's kind of kept me with, you know, committed to the church. But man, the, probably the biggest thing that happened, just to kind of sum up that, you know, that first, you know, few years and now into whatever the next season of our church is going to look like is, you know, it was maybe 3, 4, 5 years in. I'm at the park. I'm praying. I hate everything. I hate life. Everything's really hard. I'm super discouraged. And the Lord just kind of, again, spoke to me in that moment, spoke to my spirit in that moment. And basically was saying, like, I didn't call you to not suffer. I didn't call you to be comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not what I called you to do here. And kind of what came out of that time of prayer with the Lord at the park was a commitment to long-term, long-suffering, healthy ministry in one place. And I don't know if I'm going to be at the Paradox Church forever. I think I am.
Yeah.
I want to be, but that long-term, long-suffering, healthy ministry in one place, that was just a commitment that came out of that time with the Lord. And that really has helped me because it raises my eyes up to all that He could do in decades,
right?
Not all that He might do next year.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good word, man. And I guess like today, I mean, we're looking at 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, now, what are some just evidences of God's grace you see at the Paradox Church today that you just want to publicly praise God for or whatever?
Man, I mean, I think the most obvious thing is the four churches that we've planted in the city, north, south, east, and west. I mean, that's just an amazing just work of the Lord. And you know, people started asking, how did you do it? You know, you get to four.
Yeah.
And then people are like,
You're doing something.
Seems like you know how to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't. We don't really know how to do it. That's an obvious. So we shot the video, you know, for the fourth one when we sent the fourth one out back in April of this year of 2021. And my whole like vision for the video was, you know, this little 5 minute story of sending out Redemption Hill Church in South Fort Worth was there was a part of that core team was some real OG Paradox people. Like my first worship guy, I fired and he stayed at the church for the next 10 years. And then he's part of this, you know, church team. He's one of my closest friends.
Wow.
So he was a big part of the video and I was like, here's the theme I want. I want it to be happy and fun. And I want it to be like, how did these idiots do this? Like that was the whole theme. Cause that's what it feels like.
Sure.
So that's a big, clear evidence of God's grace. The four churches that he's planted through us. Man, they're just people that really, I mean, you're talking, here's the thing that a lot of people will say when they visit or we're a very, very young church. So parents and grandparents and things like that, they'll come to visit is you've got hundreds of 20, maybe 30 year olds that, when I say, and look at verse 33, everybody's head goes down.
Love it.
Yeah. And they just love the Bible. And that really makes it easy to lead. It makes it easy to, I don't know. That's just a special thing that, I think it's more, it's probably really true for all X29 churches. We're people of the word. We love the word. I could easily, you know, you could probably point to that as, you know, me leading that because, you know, we preach the Bible and we love the Bible. Yes. I do think there's something special about, uniquely special to our people that the Lord has just been really sweet in regards to a love for His Word.
Yeah,
yeah,
I love that, man. That is one of my favorite things to see the heads nodding up and down, not in agreement, but with let's look at the Bible.
That's
Let's look at the Bible.
That's right.
We need more of that, more and more.
I know.
And so
it's one of my first things to young preachers is, you know, hey, it's taking you a long time to get to the text.
Yes.
And they don't know who you are anyways. That's where your authority is. You better get there quick.
That's good.
Yeah.
Where are you on physical Bibles, digital Bibles? Do you exhort and encourage physical Bibles? Obviously, word's the word. We won't be looking at the word.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Yeah, I'm agnostic.
Agnostic all the way. Whatever. Just bring it. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't put it on the screen. The text of the day. So we, I'll put text on the screen that I'm using as like cross references during the sermon, because I don't want them having to like be flipping back and forth and stuff. But, so I do think that's one small way in which we're encouraging them. Hey, bring your Bible, you know, to church. The biggest thing, I mean, Sundays, man, I'm not going to be hardcore about that. We have a reading plan, nothing special about it. It's not better than all the other ones out there. It's actually shorter. It's probably worse, but it was a commitment to two things. One, obviously, hey, let's read the Bible. And then two, let's read it together. Let's read the same things together. So I think there's other ways. Our paradox, we call it Paradox 365. That's a better way in my mind of encouraging people to read their Bible than getting dogmatic about bringing their print Bible or their cell phone Bible or whatever to church. So that's my take.
That's good. All right. Now for the reading plan, are y'all doing it's not the CBR reading plan, but it's the journals.
We use the CBR journals.
Okay. And for people that don't know, if you don't know what the CBR is, it's the Community Bible Reading Journal. You can Google that, check it out. It has a great reading plan. And they make journals where they can put your church's logo on it. Also very cool. Yep. But you do your own custom plan, but with that method.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So explain the method.
It's been different every year. So the first couple of years I just picked, we would read through, for however many days we'd read through this Old Testament book and a Psalm. And then for when that book is over, we'd go to a New Testament book and read through that and then back and forth. Cool. And then we've done the last couple of years, we've changed it up a little bit. Still my favorite is just picking random books of the Bible. And so it wouldn't be picking random. Like if I was going to teach through Philippians, we would read through Philippians a couple of times, three times maybe in that year. Yeah. I spent a whole year preaching through Philippians. Wow. So I had us read through it multiple times. Not different. We've had different, ways of going about it, but the fact is we're reading a couple of chapters of the Bible together every morning.
So what's unique about the CBR, right, is that it uses the ACTS acronym that we usually think of for prayers, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, but for reading the text, I think it's great.
It's awesome.
What can you adore about God in this passage? Yeah. What do you need to confess from this passage?
Yeah.
What do you need to thank God for? What do you want to pray for others?
Yep.
And then the gospel community reminders, like share an insight with somebody in the church. Like that stuff is gold. I love it.
So our women's discipleship groups are built off of the reading plan.
Okay.
And so they get together once a week and just go over their journals and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a really great resource.
Now, one of the things that I think you guys do a lot of great resources like that. I've seen those journals and different things you guys are doing with your music. But also I think one thing that's so unique and is also why I wanted to have you on the X29 podcast is to talk about Plant Fort Worth, which seems to be, is it just a thing in the Paradox or is it a collaborative thing in Fort Worth? So what is Plant Fort Worth and what's it all about?
Man. So, I mean, it's the poor man's Houston, church planting network. You know, it's basically saying we, DFW is kind of a little bit behind in collaborating well together for church planning. And man, Fort Worth and Dallas are just so different.
Yeah.
They just are. And so I kind of just got a little tired of just not doing something. When the Lord started giving us favor and was being really faithful to plant churches in Fort Worth through us, I realized how many more we would need to plant in the next 30 years for us to like, for our generation to leave the city our vision as a church is to saturate Fort Worth with the glory and grace of Jesus. And we realize we can't do that with just one church.
Yeah.
So, and we can't even just do that through planting our own churches. I mean, how many churches can we plant locally? I don't know. We're going to find out, but we've done four and there's still more people that need to know Jesus, if you don't know much about the city of Fort Worth, it just became the 12th largest city in the country. It's rapidly growing, been rapidly growing for the last decade. It's the biggest city you've never heard of. And it just keeps, you know, it's an Austin, it's a Houston, it's a San Antonio. It just keeps growing.
Right.
And so we just need a lot of churches. And so what I wanted to do is, I don't know how you've been with, your, you know, when I first came into, you know, planted a church, was Acts 29. I was like, all Acts 29, everybody else sucks. And then like I grew up and matured and was like, no, other churches are okay, you know?
Right.
And then I went on a sabbatical and I went to some other churches in the city and I was like, no, they're not that good. And then, and then I've kind of come back to like a little bit more of a, you know, ecumenical grace, if you will, you know?
Yeah, it's good.
There's just wonderful churches in our city that aren't X29. They're not just like us. And they maybe want to plant churches, or maybe they are part of it in some way. But I really wanted to get those churches together. So yeah, it's our X29 brothers in Fort Worth. You know, the guys that we've planted, but then it's also, you know, a couple Presbyterian churches and, other denominations. A couple of them are quite large churches. Most of them are smaller. And it's just been really great.
Yeah. That's so great. I love that collaboration, working together and all that stuff, man. That's so good.
Yeah.
And you know, as you talk about X29, we're here at the X29 retreat, Pastors and Wives retreat here in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I flew into Vail. Where did you fly into Denver? Or Vail? Man, Vail was amazing. Fly into the mountains. It was so good. And it's been a really encouraging week for me. So I just, you know, what's exciting you about X29 right now? I feel like we've got a lot of changes. We've been through leadership changes. We're adding new initiatives and all this. There's a lot of fun things happening, but I would just love to hear from X29 pastors. Like, wait, what are you excited about?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've always, and maybe this is dumb, but I've always compared and thought of X29 just like I would think of a local church, because it's funny, you know, you guys, we were kind of joking about this the other day, like y'all are send us out emails and we're like, what is happening? We have no idea. It's like, it was literally just sent an email, but that happens in our churches too.
Yes.
You know, you run into church members and they're friends and it's like, wait, what's tomorrow? It's like, bro, I just sent you an email.
It's Easter.
I mean, like we've talked about it 100 times. And so I've always kind of like viewed X29 that kind of same way. And even just the sense of like the many parts, the many members that make up the body, you know, and in a lot of ways you can see that with the different kinds of churches and the different leaders and all of that, you know, building up this, you know, body, the X29 network. And so it's just really wonderful. So, thinking about it in that way, man, there's been 100 iterations and different ways of doing this or doing that in X29, just like there's been 100 different ways to do small groups in your church. And in the end, what I've learned about, for example, small groups is it doesn't matter what the format is and what you call them, whatever, what makes a good small group run is the leader. And so that's one thing that gets me really excited about X29 is the leadership.
Yeah.
You know, you being a part of it and Brian, just knowing Brian all these years and just benefited from his wisdom for so long. And obviously Matt has just been great. You know, at the top there, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years now and really changing the culture. And so I just Dave Bruskus in my region now and just love him. And I mean, I'm just talking about my little part of the world.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think the leadership, is really encouraging to me where we're at with leadership. And then the second thing, and I was reminded of this here at the retreat, and it's again, the same thing, you know, to me, this correlates with the local church analogy. It's just the people. Like what makes my church great is the Spirit of God in our people.
That's right.
You know, one of the things I'll tell church planners all the time is don't plant a vision, plant a church. Because a lot of guys fall in love with their vision.
Yes.
But in the end, the church is going to be the people that God gathers and the Spirit of God at work in them. They make up this church and now you lead it, you know? And so I think the same thing with X29, when you get around, you know, you get in a retreat or you go to a conference or you go to one of your area gatherings or whatever it is, and you're reminded of what great men and women that the Lord has called to this network, and it's encouraging and it's challenging and it gives you a lot of hope.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like anything, you can look at something from a distance and judge it or you know, or ignore it or whatever. It's this entity, X29, but then when you actually get in there and it's like, oh no, that's these people.
Yeah. This is X-29.
Yeah. This is X-29. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so I would say the leaders and the men, the pastors of the church and their wonderful women, their wonderful wives. I think that's probably the most encouraging.
That's great.
Yeah.
Jim, well, final three questions, man. We didn't even get a chance to actually talk about, you guys are doing an amazing building project. And so
if there's nothing amazing about a building project, Jeff.
That is true. The renderings of your building are amazing.
Yes.
Very exciting. So go to Jim's Instagram. Go to the Paradox Instagram. You can find these. It's kind of an old school, new school, great, great combination of building concepts and vibe. Yeah. I love it, man. So I'm excited to see it all come together.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So go to their Instagram, go check it out. And you can learn more about their project too. It's really great. Okay. Final three questions. I ask these everybody, every guest on the X-29 podcast. First one, a great book you've read recently that you'd want to recommend.
Oh man, I was not ready for these questions.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah. A great book that I've read recently.
Or audio would be fine.
I don't do audio.
You can cheat. You actually read books.
Yeah. I read them.
Read them. Me too. Yeah.
Man. So I really enjoyed, I kind of got into a little book slump. And was really frustrated with that. I just kept starting books and not finishing them. I really loved Boys in the Boat.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's about the 1936 Olympic crew team. That was really good. And then anything right now, I kind of got back into some leadership stuff. You know, you kind of get bored of it. You kind of get burnt out at it. But I really like the EOS guys, Gino Wickman, I think his name is. Traction and... How to Be a Great Boss and those books. His stuff has been really good.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Go-to order in a coffee shop.
So here's the problem with that question is they don't have my coffee in a coffee shop.
What are you doing?
Bulletproof coffee.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned this the other night.
Yeah.
So for everyone out there who drinks normal coffee, what is bulletproof coffee?
Every morning, my wife and I, we wake up and we do a French press.
Okay.
And then...
That's pretty normal so far.
Yeah. And then we pour that French press into a blender... With
it's getting weird.
Like 3 tablespoons of grass-fed butter.
It's getting weirder.
And about 3 tablespoons of MCT oil.
Man, it's gotten so weird.
And then we hit blend, and it's the greatest, frothiest, most wonderful breakfast you've ever had.
So that's your breakfast?
Oh, yeah. I don't eat breakfast.
You didn't eat anything else? Just that?
There's a lot of fat in there. There's a lot of calories.
Tons of butter.
Yeah.
How much butter do you... What's your butter budget in your house?
We have an ungodly amount of grass-fed butter... in our house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, let's say you go into, there's some good coffee shops.
It's a paradox, Jeff.
That is, hey, oh, callback. So let's say you go into Craftwork Coffee in Fort Worth. I've been there.
Yeah.
If you're going in there and you're meeting somebody, what are you going to get?
So if, you know, if I'm probably just going to get a drip or if somebody else is buying.
Yeah.
Get something
really nice.
And I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't worry about that they're buying, you know. I love a good pour over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the way
like,
to go.
Give me a good, I don't know all the lingo, but probably a medium roast. You know, I don't like anything dark. I want it to be like flavorful and I want to smell it and just a good pour over. What's the one that's like half and half? Like if I'm going to go do something a little funky.
A cappuccino.
No. The other one.
Flat white. Is that one? Cortado. Cortado is my favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
I like Cortados.
Yeah. That's my favorite. I think Brian Howard too. I think that's his go-to.
Like I'll do that if I'm on vacation and I want
that's to. That's the way to go.
My wife, it's like oat milk, latte, one shot of this.
A lot of
like
adjectives.
$17. Yeah. So I just go with a drip coffee after her order.
Somebody's got to, save some money here.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love a good cortado. Yeah. I haven't had one here at the retreat. I need to find one.
Okay.
It'd be good to have. Okay. Final question. Your favorite verse in our scriptures that you just find yourself meditating on, saying to yourself a lot, maybe just to encourage you, what do you gravitate to?
Yeah, since you didn't give me these questions in advance, I'm going to give you two. One in the old, one in the new. Probably, I continue to go back to it, Romans 8:29, that we were predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ.
Yeah.
Like just how much hope is in that verse.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
Psalm 16 is just always like my go-to psalm. And there's so many different parts of it that I'll go to in different ways. But the one that probably is most historic for me is just, you know, you give my heart a counsel at night. Mm. And just going back to, I don't know, I'm not a guy that's, extremely emotional, and thought provoking. And I'm just kind of, you know, go do it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Psalm 16 has just always been a slow me down verse for me, and a sweet verse that just knows like the Lord's going to speak to me at night when I'm quiet. Mm. So
that's good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Yeah.
For a baseball player.
Baseball reference.
Baseball now.
That's one of my favorite things, by the way,
really?
That people do is they give me a baseball analogy.
I didn't even mean to.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was happening. So I was walking past you guys at lunch this afternoon.
Yeah.
And Heather, your wife, she said, ask Jim on the podcast what his, did you hear her say this?
No.
No. She said, ask Jim what his favorite thing about his wife is on the podcast. And so I said, well, it's probably your paintings. That's what I think he said.
That's not my
and
favorite
so
thing about
I, that's all I know about your wife is that she's a painter.
Yeah.
And so I figure I should ask it since she asked.
That's awesome.
So I'll let you answer.
Man, my favorite thing about her is how much she laughs at her own jokes. Yeah. It cracks me up. So I love her happy. I love her smiling. I love her laughing. And what makes her happiest is her laughing at her own jokes. It just cracks me up.
There you go, Heather.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Amen. If you make it this far in the podcast,
right.
Which I'm sure you will, it's your husband. You're going to listen to this whole thing.
She hasn't read any of the books. She doesn't listen. No.
Same. Yeah. My wife has not read a single one of my books.
No, they don't care.
Yeah.
They love us for who we are.
Yeah. They love it and they live it. They've heard it. She's
yes.
like, I don't need to hear it again.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I know.
Well, Jim, thanks for coming on the X-Men podcast. It was great to hang with you, bro.
Yeah. Thanks.
And listeners, be sure to share this episode there in your Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all your other social media feeds. And if you'd be so kind, we'd love for you to leave a review there as well in your podcast app. And remember, listeners, let's keep planting churches to the ends of the earth.